the Lord may help me, but ask your attention to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, and verses 1 and 2. Luke chapter 15, and verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. These words have been much upon my spirit over the past few days, and having felt, I trust, something of the sweetness contained in these words, as it sets before us the blessed person of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, I have felt made to bring them before you this evening. As we look at these words, me just mention this, for I feel, friends, it is a point we often lose sight of as we read the sacred record of the Gospel, wherein is brought before us the life, the work, and the words of the Lord Jesus when he was here upon this earth. What is the design of the Holy Spirit in the sacred record of the Gospel? What is his design in the leading and teaching of the Spirit-taught family of God in and with regard to the sacred record of the Gospel? Friends, it is this, and may the Lord seal the blessed truth of it upon your heart and mind this evening, that we have here not only an historical record of those events that took place when the Lord Jesus was here upon this earth, that we have brought before us here not only what he was, but essentially this, what he still is. For friends, do remember this, that this same dear man in heaven now reigns, who suffered for our sake. It is the same Lord Jesus who was here upon this earth, this same man that received sinners and did eat with them, that is now exalted and glorified at the Father's right hand. And is he any different to what he was when he was here upon earth? Is his attitude towards sinners any different? Blessed be his great and holy name. It is not. Do just notice this thought. Remember that time of the Lord's ascension into heaven, when, as he went with his disciples, as he led them forth out toward Bethany, that he was parted from them. And there, friends, in his parting from them, we read this: he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, as he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. All blessed truth there brought before us, the last act of a precious Christ upon this earth was to bless sinners. And friends, he's been blessing sinners ever since, and he still does, in the riches of his grace, bless sinners. Remember also what the angels said to the disciples as they stood gazing up into heaven. Ye men of Galilee, Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him carried up into heaven. This same Jesus. This is a point I want to stress. This is, friends, a thought for the Holy Spirit, a poor sinner in the exercise of a living faith, is brought to see, perceive, to lay hold upon, that it is this same Jesus that in all that is opened up before us in the record of the sacred gospel, of his dealings with, his compassions towards, his mercy made known, his pardoning love opened up and sealed upon the heart of sinners, the friend, he is still the same. His compassions are great. His grace is no less. This it is still what Paul emphasizes as he writes in his epistle to Timothy. It is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, in noticing these words this evening, I want us, as the Lord may graciously enable, to bear that truth in mind, that what is here recorded of the Lord Jesus Christ shows us not only what he was, but what he still is. And that poor, perishing, guilty sinner, as led and taught by the Holy Spirit, shall and will still prove him to be what he was when he was here upon this earth. Such an one who in rich grace and divine mercy does receive such and does eat with them. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Oh friends, what a mercy it is that it is recorded in the sacred scriptures that it was with such characters that the Lord Jesus did deal. It was with such, amongst such characters as that he went, that such characters as these did indeed not only hear his word, but know the power and authority of it in their own heart, that his divine grace was displayed unto and towards us. Just notice this thought, his association with publicans and sinners when here upon this earth, though despised by the scribes and Pharisees, though they despised him for it, and are taught by what is brought before us in this second verse, therein to speak derogatorily against him, the Lord's association with such characters was not to confirm them in their sin, not to condone what they were guilty of, but essentially was this, as is declared concerning himself, it was to save them from their sins. As his word declares, I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, to seek and to save that of which is lost. Friends, what drew such characters as these to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? What caused them to come to hear him? We find that there were many, yea, that came out of curiosity, many that came because they had heard the miracle that he had done. Many even that came because they did eat of the loaves and fishes and were filled. We find, friends, that great multitudes followed him when he was here upon this earth during those years of his public ministry. But we are not to suppose by that all that came to him or heard him when he was here upon this earth were savingly wrought upon. Or was there not the sad and solemn evidence that even among those that heard him, they heard but those words to their own condemnation, that though he had done so many miracles amongst them, yet they believed not, so much so that he declared a solemn woe unto them, woe unto Capernaum, wherein his mighty work had been done. He said, if the mighty works that have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. I tell you, be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. But friends, though that was so, we see distinctly manifest divine sovereignty, almighty grace, that there was a people so wrought upon by the Holy Spirit that were brought both to hear his word, not only with the outward ear, but know the power and authority of it in and upon their hearts, were brought both to hear and through his grace to follow him and to know what it was through rich mercy and grace to be brought to repentance and confession of their sins and to find from himself that pardon and that peace indeed with God. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. What, friends, I would here just notice is this point. Oh, see what emphasis is put here in sacred scripture upon these publicans and sinners. These such characters as these are they that knew what it was through rich grace to be benefited savingly by Jesus Christ. Here were men and women that were despised by the religious world of that day, those that were looked down upon, those who the scribes and Pharisees would have nothing whatsoever to do with, and truly men and women that certainly had nothing in themselves to commend themselves either unto their fellow men, and certainly not unto the Lord God himself. Certainly nothing in these to commend them unto the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Why? By and through their sin they had forfeited every claim upon God and upon his favour and notice. And friends, let us remember this, that you and I are no whit better than these were. What is there in us that can merit esteem or give the Creator a delight? Does not the Word of God solemnly declare? No, something, friend, of the solemn declaration of it in your own conscience? Has it been brought home to your heart and mind by divine power under the teaching of the Holy Spirit? if those solemn words be impounded, as it were, in the ears of our soul, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And again, solemn truth, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Here were men and women, as it were, steeped, deep, dyed sinners, those that indeed, as it were 10,000 pence a debtor. But oh, friends, what I want here to try to bring before you again this evening is the truth of this, that it is such characters as these, but with whom Christ hath to deal, wretched, ruined, hell-deserving sinners, those that have nothing to commend themselves unto God, those in whom there is found no good thing, yet such are these with whom Christ has to do, as was demonstrated when he was here upon this earth. And we read, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It was an offense to the scribes and Pharisees. They thought, to say the least, that this was most lowering, most degrading, that a man should have dealing with publicans and sinners, and particularly in the light of what the Lord claimed rightly and justly to be. Here was something that was degrading and shameful as viewed by the Pharisees. But friends, what I would here just notice is this: does the Lord reject what these murmured against him? Does he indeed seek to justify himself on that accusation? Does he in essence say that what they said of him was not true? Blessed be God, he does not. Though, friends, he rejects rightly the cavilling of the scribes and Pharisees, yet we find that the Lord Jesus glories in this truth, that this was what he came for, that great purpose of his coming was this, to glorify God in the salvation of such characters as these scribes, as these publicans and sinners were. And not only does he not reject that accusation, but he glories in it. And he goes on distinctly to set forth in those parables that follow the emphasis of this truth, that this man, the man Christ Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them. Let us then here try to notice one or two distinct thoughts upon these words. How full, how rich the truth, not friends to such as our scribes and Pharisees. The soul that never has felt its need of a sinner, as a sinner sees no glory and beauty in these words. The soul that has a righteousness of his own will never glory, friends, in what is brought before us here. It will never see and realize the blessed truth and preciousness of these things as they concern the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe the soul that is taught by the Holy Spirit, brought to see and to feel increasingly its wretchedness and ruin in and by its sin, Why, this that men despise, this that self-righteous Pharisees reject and turn from, why this they glory in the wonder, the grace and truth of it, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The evangelist have a thought upon these words. This man, who, friend, is it? All these may seem very simple, very elementary things, but I feel increasingly, friend, how we need to come back and again to the very simple, elementary truths of the Word of God. The very simple truths, as it were, simple and yet so sublime, concerning the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I verily believe that we have not yet half begun to understand the fullness of divine grace and truth as opened up in the gospel, and we so often lose sight of what is brought before us in these words, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I find, friends, this in the reading of sacred scripture, particularly in the epistles of Paul, that the whole sum and centre of his ministry, that this was something he never got afar from, something he was coming back to and reiterating again and again. And what was that? It was Jesus Christ and him crucified. And do notice this thought as well. Do you find it is something that you can get far from? Oh, I believe I can say one has found increasingly something of the sweetness and preciousness of those words of Paul as he writes to the Corinthians, wherein he declares, we preach Christ crucified. There's the whole sum and substance, friends, of the gospel. There is that alone which a poor sinner has taught for the Holy Spirit as to rejoice in, from which all his hopes are founded, both for time and for eternity, and from which alone he can look to and expect every favour, blessing, and mercy of God towards him. It is in and through Christ crucified. And as you go on upon life's journey, do you find you can get far from that truth? Is not the daily need of it impressed upon your soul? Do you find yourself any less a sinner than you were when the Lord first began to deal with your soul? You may have thought then that you knew something of sin as taught by the Holy Spirit. But what, friends, do you find? Do you find you become any less a sinner, or sin any less hateful, the evil of it any less in your own soul's experience? Do you find that cry of the publican is a cry now that you can dispense with? God be merciful to me, a sinner. No, friends, I believe, as taught by the Holy Spirit, increasingly the truth of this will be impressed upon the soul. The daily need of a precious Christ in all that he is, and in every office that he sustains as head over all things to the church. And as often, friends, the sin and the guilt of it, the defilement of it, lies upon your heart and conscience, so the more as taught for the Holy Spirit will, I believe, be found in such words before us this evening, that which alone will raise up a living hope in your soul and bring you some measure of encouragement still through his grace to press on and to press towards him, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. But to come back to this thought, this man, who, friends, is he? Oh, here is none other but the eternal Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, but it distinctly declares, this man. Oh, the wonder, when rightly viewed, of the sacred humanity of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here we see him as the scriptures open up and declare, made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, that through the grace of God he might taste death for every man. Here we see a precious Christ, indeed God manifest in the flesh. He who hath become brother to our souls become flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone, seen here in our room and our place. With what end and design? Why, as the scriptures declare and open up, to save his people from their sins. This man, the man, Christ Jesus. And all, friends, behold, as set forth in Holy Scripture, his compassion toward a poor sinner, the love of his heart toward the same. One said, nothing brought him from above, nothing but redeeming love. It is recorded in Holy Scripture concerning him. Read again the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. There, as the Lord Jesus is set before us, under the similitude of wisdom, it is declared that I was daily with him, rejoicing always before him in the habitable parts of his earth. And my delights, he said, were with the Son of Man. All the love of his heart to his own dear people, those whom his Father gave unto him from before the foundation of the world. As one said, he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate, his loving kindness, O our great friends. For this very purpose did this man come, to save his people from their sins. And in so doing he came just where they were. Upon him was laid the guilt and the sin of each one of them, and his grace and mercy and love is displayed in this, that he comes both where they are and with this full purpose, to save and deliver them from that case and that state and condition. This man, the eternal Son of God, the glory of a precious Christ, as they shine forth in the gospel. May you and I indeed know what it is, as taught by the Holy Spirit in the exercise of a living faith, to view more and more that glory of Christ as the Savior of sinners, as set forth in the sacred scriptures. And our friends, through his grace, to view the glory of this man, to sing to the praise of his glory, and sinners saved by grace, even to all eternity. But this man, despised by many, but nonetheless the Son of the Eternal God, the great and only Saviour of sinners, despised by proud Pharisees, but precious friends to guilty and needy sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I've already said that all may this truth be sealed home upon any poor, seeking, guilty, needy soul this evening, that he is that same Jesus still. Friend, what is recorded here of him is still true. There are poor sinners that are still the living witnesses of this truth, that he receiveth them. Upon what ground does he receive sinners? Oh, the wonder of this. Here is something, friend, which is a continual wonder to the spirit-taught people of God. And is there not that at times which is found in their heart? Is it found, friend, in your heart and mine this evening? Do we wonder how he can receive sinners? He that is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, we behold the glory of God, his holiness, righteousness, and justice as set forth in the Scriptures. Assured of this, that Christ is very God, well, how can he receive sinners? Here is something which, as it were, at times seems completely beyond us. Here is something that seems so great, that how can he receive such an one as I am, so guilty, defiled throughout by and through sin, having not one good thought that I could even call my own or could produce without divine grace enabling? How can he receive such a wretched, deep-dyed, stained sinner as I am? There is nothing in me to merit his esteem. How often, friends, are these questions found? Oh, we so look to ourselves and to our own hearts, are cast down and discouraged by what we find there. That question often arises, how can he receive such a one as I am? If only I had this, if only I had so-and-so's experience, if only I was not as bad as I am, or had gone as far as I have, I might have some hope that he would receive me. But all friends, away with such legal wrangling, away with such a self-righteous, for that's what they are reasoning. The blessed Scriptures declare that Christ receiveth sinners. And remember this, he receives sinners as sinners. And he saves sinners as sinners. He doesn't, friends, expect, he doesn't look for us to make ourselves presentable in his sight. All such things as that are an abomination unto him. Paul sweetly touches upon the truth of it when he declares that God justifies the ungodly, and that he commendeth his love toward us in this, that when we were yet sinners, Christ died. In his receiving of sinners, He looks, friends, not to any desert in them, for there is none in them, nor ever will be. But all it is that which has its origin in himself. It is because he wills. It flows out of his own free and sovereign grace. And remember, friends, what grace is. It is the free, the undeserved love and favor of God toward a sinner. It is because what he is, he receives that out of the riches of his grace and love toward them. You know that the word that is often quoted from Holy Scripture, a word which is often, I believe, misapplied and misunderstood, yet a word that has such a fullness in it that I believe, friends, it will require eternity itself to ever fathom any of the depths of it. And that is what we find in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This man receiveth. Oh, he receives them freely. He receives them, friends, in love. His word declares, and blessed is that word, that Christ will not cast out one that comes unto him. Whatever their guilt, their case, their sin, their need, one that comes unto him, as taught by the Holy Spirit, in all their wretchedness and need, a precious Christ declares that he surely will receive such. Remember those words in the 6th chapter of John. All that the Father giveth me shall come, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There, friends, is a blessed mark of divine teaching in each one whom the Father has given unto his beloved Son. They are all sinners, lost and ruined in the fall. They're all in exactly the condition described in these words, publicans and sinners. But the word says they shall come. And friends, through divine grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, they do come. And come in all their wretchedness, their sin, their guilt, and their need. And he says he will in no wise cast out. Ah, friends, there's a word you and I could never get beyond or fathom the fullness of. He says he will in no wise cast them out. Receiveth sinners. Ah, he takes them, friends, unto himself. He embraces them. Why, he delights so to do, as his word declares, is evident in what follows, and eateth with them. I just want here to notice this thought. We find that, friends, this word is blessedly true, not only in the first beginnings of the work of divine grace upon the soul, but there is something in these words that is precious to the living family of God, the whole length of life's journey. You know, we read in this chapter the case of the prodigal son. Ah, friends, are we not a description there of that which is sadly true at times, even of God's people? Ah, they have indeed backslidden from God. There are those things that have come and entered into their heart and lives, that which they have fallen into, that have brought guilt and condemnation upon guilt upon their conscience, the sad and solemn defilement of sin felt in their own souls. And all friends, is not even sin a daily solemn reality to the living family of God? Are you in a situation this evening wherein that guilt has been brought home to your conscience? The Lord has shown you something of what you are and where you have been awakened to the solemn realization of this, that you have sinned against light and knowledge, love and blood, after all the Lord's mercy and favors towards you. You have gone and done what you have done, and so brought guilt and the defilement of sin upon your conscience. And our Satan is ready to say, yea, as it were, is thundering in the ears of your soul, there is no mercy now for you in God. You've gone too far. Ah, look what you've done, where you've been, even after the Lord's mercy. Can you expect that he will yet turn and have mercy upon you? And yet, friends, do notice this. And oh, I believe poor prodigals do still find and prove the truth of it, that though they are they, their father's kind, this man, the man Christ Jesus, he still receives sinners and eateth with them, as through his grace they are brought to repentance and confession of sin, like with Ephraim of old, to smite upon their thigh, to own their sin before God. Why, there's full and rich reception for them, even still at the hand of their covenant-keeping God. Remember what we read in the Epistle of John. I write unto you, little children, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And oh, friends, what wondrous truth is this. May the Lord seal it afresh upon your heart and mind this evening, that we have a great high priest over the house of God, Jesus, the Son of God, and that this Jesus, the Saviour and friend of poor sinners, does still receive such and eat with them. This eating with them sweetly signifies that his communion and fellowship known and felt with him in the soul. Oh, the wonder of this truth. Not only that he will and does look upon them, not only that he will and does take notice of them, but that, friends, he comes to them, even, as it were, to eat and to drink with them, to open up of his own heart the wonders of his grace, to hold fellowship and communion with them. And, friends, that sweet sips of that fellowship and communion with him are what? Why, those sweet foretastes of heaven. And there the fullness of this truth will be realized, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. All those before the throne are the redeemed from amongst men. All they that are found there are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and to them shall surely be found the realization of this, that they shall eat of the marriage supper of the Lamb. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Still, friends, blessedly true. Oh, may the Lord, the Holy Spirit, opening up more and more to your heart and mine. But I'll leave it there. May the Lord bless his own word. Amen.